We pray that you'd pour out your Spirit afresh like never before upon their lives, Lord, that they might see you in a clearer, fresher, more powerful way than ever before. And we pray that you would encourage them, Lord, that you would protect them, Lord, that you'd bless their marriages and their families and their fellowships. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to minister to the Stangle family out at North Shore as Danita is out there even now, ministering to people that they've known for so many years. We pray that your Holy Spirit of mercy and comfort be with them, as well as for those, Lord, the families that suffered loss especially. Lord, we just pray some way, somehow, you take that which was meant for evil and turn it around for your glory. And Lord, bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 this morning. Kind of seems like the last couple of weeks we've been in Psalms. And we were so blessed last week with Bob Haig's message in Psalm 121 that the Lord is our keeper. He's watching over us. He's faithful. And he'll be faithful to get us to our destination, and that is heaven. In the meantime, he's faithful day after day into our lives, amen, to protect us, to shield us, and to be with us. And then the week before that, we were reading about in Psalm 23 that the Lord, he's our shepherd. He is the one who's constantly watching over us, tending us, loving us, caring for us, directing our lives, even though we're just like ugly sheep, you know, always wandering, always meandering and getting ourselves in trouble, you know, and yet when we call upon his name, he's faithful to bring us back into the fold. Well, this morning we'll be in Psalm 1, and we want to glean from this psalm as we're looking at the message for today's sermon is thriving or surviving. Thriving or surviving. And the word thrive, it means to grow vigorously, luxuriantly as a plant, to flourish like trees in good soil, despite or because of circumstances. It speaks of being full of vigor, full of physical and mental strength, energy. And I don't know where you're at with your walk with the Lord, and even as we look at the world that we live in, it's such a crazy world. As you know, in our midweek services, we are going through a series on apologetics, and Pat Zukerin, many of you know him, just an awesome scholar, and as he was sharing with us in Ezekiel 38 and 39 and relating it to the uprisings there in the Middle East, we realize that, you know, and then we look here locally, you know, that there is just a lot of things that could cause us to brace ourselves, a lot of dangers out there, and a lot of things that can cause for anxiety in our life, as well as just the daily demands of paying the rent and the mortgage and my job and the kids and this and that and the other. And we have this tendency as a church or even as Christians to kind of be in this brace mode, you know what I mean? It's kind of the survival mode. We're just trying to maintain our walk with the Lord, you know, just hanging on, just getting there. How many of you just made it to church today? It's like, I just made it to church and I'm the one preaching. I just, oh, if I can just get there, that's it, Lord. That's the destination. If I can just get to the study, if I can just read a little bit in your word, just do enough just to get by. Oh, Lord, come and get me. Come and get us. Rapture us. I'm scared, Lord. Help, you know. And although there's legitimate seasons in our life where we are in the survival mode, where to just to maintain and cling to Jesus, that shouldn't define our life as a church or as an individual, as followers of Jesus Christ. Because it's so contrary to his word. Jesus wants us to thrive in these last days. He doesn't want us to be so afraid that we have to run up to the ko'olau's and hide out in the caves and get my machine gun or whatever. Of course, you got to have a cooler over there and hibachi and everything. Don't forget your spam. Of course, cook the spam first. Don't eat it raw. It's not too good. But, He doesn't want us to be hiding out, bracing ourselves. We're living in the last days. All this evil is around us. Corruption in the church, corruption in ethics, in the politics, the United States turning away from Israel. We start, you know, panicking. But he wants us to thrive. He wants us to remain strong like a tree firmly planted. He wants to use us for his glory in these last days. We never read in the epistles in the New Testament of Paul writing to the church to brace ourselves, to hoard for ourselves, you know. But it's just the opposite. We are to run the race to win. We are to thrive. We are to bear fruit. Jesus said in John chapter 10, you know, the parable of the good shepherd, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Over the top, overflow, not just making it, not just surviving, but to have this life that in him and by his spirit that actually overflows into other people's lives, becomes an influence and an impact for his kingdom. It's kind of like if you look outside there in our, you know, isn't it coming along, our baptismal? You see it out there? You see that there's an overflow there. It's pumping up these, you know, the water so it flows over so it looks like a waterfall. After working on the campus on Wednesday, it looked so good. I wanted to dive in so bad. I was hot, sweaty. I had all caquillos all over my legs, weed whacking, and I just was staring at him like, please, can I go in? I went, yes, no, yes, no, yes, go inside. There's no condemnation, James. Go ahead, do it. Scott's not looking. Where's Scott? He's not looking. Nobody's looking. Jump inside. Looks so refreshing. But that's a picture of our life. It's to have this overflow. Jesus also said in John 15, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus also said in John chapter 7, if any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow torrents or rivers of living water. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. See, God has designed us to thrive in life and not just to hold on, just to make it. Marriages just to get by. Families just to hang in there. Go to high school and I'm just holding on to my faith. I'm holding on to Jesus. You know, I hope I make it without sinning and falling away from the Lord. I mean, again, there is a legitimate time that we do need to protect ourselves and be wise, but God wants us to thrive. God wants his spirit to overflow in our life. Why? Because he's the keeper of Israel. Last week we read Psalm 121. He's the good shepherd. In the end, we win. We're with him. Paul, he wrote to the Philippians and he said, for me to live is Christ. If I die, hey, that's a plus. That's a gain. I go home to be with the Lord. You can't lose with that kind of mindset. We're either thriving or we're surviving or we're dying as Christians. And I think there's seasons that we go through in our life, but I believe in these last days, God wants us to thrive. God wants us to have spiritual strength and stamina, not this kind of fireworks, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, running up and down, praise the Lord, and then next day all down in the dumps, and praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's just this steady, consistent, day in, day out relationship with him. Where each day goes by, you know, I'm growing in my faith. God wants to bless. And so we come to Psalm 1 because we want to know, okay, what does it look like to thrive? Show us it, Lord. Show me a person in the Bible who's thriving. Like Caleb. You remember Caleb in the Old Testament? He and Moses went into the Promised Land. Two guys. after 40 years in the wilderness of putting up all the grumbling and everything of God's people, they entered the promised land. They were old guys. They were in their 80s. But you remember what Caleb said? He was ready to duke it out, ready to be. Bring them on. I'm just as strong as if I was 40. There's vigor, there's life, there's hope, there's purpose. That's the blessing that we have. That's an example for us of a life that's thriving. Remember Daniel in Babylon, taken away as a teenager, heartbreaking, kidnapped from his family, kidnapped from his hometown, kidnapped from everything, and going to Babylon, the most secular, sinful place on the earth. And Nebuchadnezzar trying to indoctrinate them in the Babylonian ways, even changing his name. But remember, he resolved in his heart, it says in chapter 1, not to sin against the Lord. And he began to thrive as a teenager in the midst of Babylon. He was thriving. Next thing you know, for about 80 years there in the kingdom of Babylon, he was one right there with the king. Great influence, and God used him mightily. And that's what God wants to do in our life. Let's look at Psalm 1. We're going to look in particular verses 2 and 3 because that's the picture that we get of a person, a man, woman, teenager. Doesn't matter. God is an equal opportunity blesser for us all. And look at verses 2 and 3 in particular. But verse 1, it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Here's the picture. "And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." Verse 6 is a key verse. "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Maybe you're heading in Psalm 1 says, the righteous and the wicked contrasted. It's two lives, two destinies, two roads, two types of people. And really, there's only two types of people. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're a sheep or you're a goat. There's not 50 different characteristics or 50 different destinies. No, it's just very simple. We're either saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and born again, or we're not. That's it. But we are saved. We are blessed with salvation. But you know what? It doesn't just end at the ending of this life. It's for here and now. And verse 1, we see in a negative way what this blessed man or woman or teenager or whoever, you know, this life that's thriving, this is what they do not do in verse 1. It's interesting, the word blessed in the Hebrew, many of you know, it simply means, oh, how happy. It's the idea of joy and happiness and contentment. And the Hebrew word for blessed comes from a root word for being straight or right. The Jews understood this. In order for a life to be content, to be full, to have peace and hope and joy, is a life that is right before God. You can't experience the life of the Spirit outside of being obedient to His Word. Just can't happen, no matter who we are. And here we see that this blessed man or woman or teenager or whoever is so content and so full of joy. It's interesting, I want to read Charles Spurgeon, what he comments on this. He says, "It is not the blessedness of the king, the blessed, or blessed is the scholar, or blessed is the rich, but blessed is the man. The blessedness is attainable by the poor, the forgotten, and the obscure, as by those whose names figure in history and are trumpeted by fame. It's attainable for all of us. God wants to bless us. We can have an abundant life. We can thrive. You know, we don't have to be the superstars. You don't have to be LeBron James and D-Wade and down in South Beach, Miami, enjoying yourself. Well, you know, you never know, or Dirk Nowitzki. You know, I love sports. You know, these guys are great. Admire them on the basketball court. But you don't want to pattern your life all the time, you know, what they do off the court, or movie stars, or people that you admire, and this and that. But we find that this blessed life is attainable for each and every one of us. Doesn't matter what color is your skin, doesn't matter where you work, doesn't matter anything. All that it is dependent upon is our relationship with God. And he says right here, this is what the blessed person does not do in the negative. There is a way the blessed man or woman will not walk, stand, or sit. They do not do these things. Number one, doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Number two, doesn't stand in the path of sinners. And number three, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You see this negative progression. You're walking, standing, and then sitting. Sin is always like that. We don't just sin in such radical ways. You know, many times it begins in our thought life. Our thoughts are not dominated by the Word of God. We have influences and intimate friendships and people. Right here, what it's saying is, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The word walk, it means a lifestyle, live by. You know, there's crunch times in our life. There's crisis situations, maybe in our marriage or our personal life and whatever. And, you know, we always seek advice from people outside of ourselves. The Bible does say that there is, you know, wisdom in a multitude of counselors, but you want to make sure they're the right counselors. You know, there's a lot of relationships, especially intimate relationships with people that have an influence on our life. You know, certain people, when they talk, you listen to them for whatever reason. They have your respect, your attention, your affection, your allegiance. And so many times in our life, instead of going to God's Word and going to the Lord, you know, we're more influenced by those that are outside of Christ that are not living a godly life, or they could be downright wicked and evil. And yet they have more of a say in our life and what we think and then eventually how we behave. Well, the blessed, or the life that thrives in the last days, number one, not even an issue with them. They have discernment. They're wise in the friendships and the intimate relationships that they have around themselves. They understand the principles found in God's Word about not being unequally yoked. It's not to say that, again, we're hermits and we hide out, you know, go like this to everybody at the workplace or anything, that we're weird or anything. Jesus said, hey, you're in the world, you're not of the world. Jesus loves the world. But so many people say, well, you know what, this is friendship evangelism. If I be like them, have a few beers with them and cruise with them and go out with them, then I go win them to Christ. You know, when does that happen? Next thing you know, you're in the nightclubs and you're down Keomoku Street and you're doing all this crazy stuff. Oh, give me the poly sheet, let me fill them out. I don't know. Who has an influence on who here? The life that thrives is a life that has discernment and understands that the humanistic philosophies of this world and the ideologies that is so relative, there's no absolute truth. That's the study that we're going over in apologetics on Wednesday night. I encourage you to come on out. But we live in a world, right, that there is no absolute truth. So the culture, right, whatever is in the culture, even if it's outside of God's Word and ungodly, that culture is dictating the philosophies of life. You're influenced and I'm influenced whether we like it or not. You and I live by certain beliefs, whether we like it or not. We're influenced by someone or something. as Bob Dylan, you know, he sung, you know, what is it? You got to love somebody. You're going to love the Lord or whatever. What's that? Or whatever. Bob Dylan, right? Two roles. You're either being influenced by someone or something. Hey, but the blessed person, the one that's life is thriving, doesn't allow intimate counsel, doesn't believe in a relative world where we see probably nice guys, even politicians, ethics, some problems with the chicks and stuff, you know? Like, how in the world can this be? It's in the pulpit. It's all a why, because there's a problem with ethics. Why is that? Well, because we don't have absolute truths. And it's a real rarity to stand up for righteousness. But we have to, if we're going to thrive in this day and age, you know, we need to hold on to these absolute truths and not allow the counsel of the wicked into our life. Second, stand in the path of sinners. It means way of sinners. These are those that openly, you know, openly sin. That you know, man, these guys don't walk with the Lord. So first you're just, you know, letting influences come. Next thing you know, I'm kind of hanging out a little bit more in my associations and in my friendships. Again, it's okay to have, you know, people that don't know the Lord as friends. We just had an apartment party at our apartment last week. Just the whole apartment. We got together and Christians and Mormons. We had a good time. We were dancing and during that, we weren't doing that. Hey, we had a great time in the Lord. And there are a few Christian families. And you know, it's good to barbecue and stuff just as in kind of reach out. But you know, again, this is speaking of somebody that's associating in the path of sinners or the way of sinners. They gravitate, their friends and the places that they go to. You remember in high school and the places where you hang out in certain parks and stuff like that. Even now, you look around your life, but in your, I don't know, your menu of your iPhone or the people that your favorites, you know, and say, wow, is most of these guys, do they walk in the Lord or not? And then finally, sitting in the seat of the scoffer, this is one that has established himself in the place of the one who criticizes Christians openly. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, in the last days, mockers will come following after their own lust. These are the ones that are constantly criticizing people, you know, in the church and Christians and this and that. And it's so easy to jump on their bandwagon if these influences in my mind and in my behavior, you know, are dictating my life. Okay, enough of the bad news. Let's go to verse 2. The contrast. Whenever you see the word but in there, that's a transition. There's a contrast. Okay, this is not the blessed guy. We don't want to follow this guy. Okay, that's the dead guy. We want to follow the vibrant life, the thriving life. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. See, the man or woman, teenager, church, marriage, family, that God has his blessing. Despite the environment, despite where you live and where you work, despite how much money you have or don't have, what you look like or not, the life that has this fullness of love and joy and peace and hope and is being fruitful and used of the Lord is a life, again, that takes pleasure in the law of the Lord, takes pleasure in his word. That's what the word delight means. It's simply to enjoy and take pleasure. And you know, as soon as we hear the law of the Lord, we're like, well, the law of the Lord, that's like the sheriff coming, you know, rules and regulations. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. But you see, the psalmist, he understands, he takes pleasure in the law of the Lord because he has a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not just we come to church, open up the Bible and read words and go through our devotions, just read Bible study, Bible study, Bible study. It's all academic. It is a part of that. But you see, it's who's writing, you see. There's a person here. God reveals himself through his word. You see, the psalmist, he understands, I'm not just reading to be religious and to be a nice guy and stuff. He is meditating. He's thinking. He is in and considering the Word of God. And you know, at this time, you know, you're looking at the first five books in the Bible, the books of Moses, books of the law. You know, there were commandments, statutes, ordinances, precepts, testimonies. But looking at the character of God, because God reveals himself through his law. And you see, the psalmist, he understood that. You remember in John called Jesus, what? The Word of God. You see, it's not just a Bible study. It's not just all, you know, all academic. It's really, it's about Jesus himself. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John goes on in verse 14 of chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. And this is what it is. This is what the Word of God is. This is what the Old Testament is. Narratives, Hebrew poetry, Proverbs, this is what it all comes down to. It says right here, John said, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full, overflowing, full of what? Grace and truth. John said, this wasn't just some man teaching good parables about being a nice guy. We seen it with our own eyes. We lived with him. He writes in his first epistle, we held him, we heard him, we touched him, the word of life. See, when you read your text messaging or your emails or somebody sends you a letter and stuff like that, right? Sometimes you go through them. Me, I go through my wife's. No, I don't do that. I'm very secure in the Lord. I don't need to go. No, I do it once in a while, but it's insecure anyway. Because, you know, I don't have an iPhone, so I'm like, oh, hon, what is this? And yeah, it's like, oh, wow, you get plenty of messages over here. Oh, wow, check this out, you know. But, you know, some of them are like, promotional stuff, you know, like this, that, you know, earn $1 billion in a second kind of deal, whatever. It's like, well, okay, what is this? What is this? But I noticed the ones that are actually open are the ones that there's a relationship. Not that I'm jealous, I'm checking out all the relationships. No, sometimes no. But, you know, we're looking for our kids, you know, sports schedules, things like this. And you notice whoever texts you or something, you kind of, oh, I'm going to respond by what? By whether you like them or not, or you have a relationship with them. But others, it's just mere words and solicitation, whatever, you disregard. What the psalmist is saying is, this is not just words, you see. I think about him. I take pleasure in him. I delight in him. I want to know what he is like. He's merciful. He's just. He's holy. He's powerful. Pastor Bill's in the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights, and we see God is awesome in his creation. Frank Figueroa is going to be teaching about that this Wednesday night. I encourage you to come out. But through the word of God, we see who God is. As Bob was sharing the word last week in Psalm 121, that he is the Lord of what? Heaven and earth. We find great hope and comfort. He's a holy, righteous God. All found in his word. We all delight in things. You and I take pleasure in things. And there's all things to take pleasure. I mean, God is such a God of grace and mercy. I mean, there's so many things we enjoy, especially here in Hawaii. I enjoy a lot of things. A couple years ago, I was enjoying too much. You know, they know it's coming already. But, you know, we lived in Iowa for about 6 years, and then we moved back here. And in those 6 years in Iowa, there was no Jack in the Box. They had a lot of other good places like Hardee's and things like that. I love burgers. I might drop of a heart attack anytime now because it's all clogged up. But ever since I was little, I just love burgers. But Jack in the Box, there was no Jack in the Box. And we lived with my in-laws right up the street from the Jack in the Box there on Kapahulu Avenue. And so when we came back from Iowa on Wednesday night when we had church and then on Sunday night, I would so look forward to going to Jack in the Box. I would work hard all day at the church, do whatever it took, work up a sweat, everything. Because I knew when we, you know, on the way home, even if it's 10, 10:30 at night, I'm going to bypass our house. Hopefully all the lights are off, so I can use that as an excuse for going. And I would just go down to Jack in the Box, and I look forward to that drive-through, order my burger, order my tacos, drive around, you know, pull in the driveway, lower the gate, sit on the gate under the stars by the mango tree, and I'll be like, yeah, this is life. And it's okay once in a while, but every single week, that's why I look like this already, you know. You gain like 25 pounds and your heart, you know. But the thing is, we delight and you take pleasure in things. Think of the things you take pleasure in. And that's great. But do we take pleasure in the Lord? Do we take pleasure in His Word? Or is it, the Word of God, Bible study again. Yada, 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 yada. And I'm a pastor. I can get like that. And I find my life when I'm in the maintaining survival mode, you know, bracing myself. Oh, I think I'm going to go back to my old life and sin here, and I'm being tempted here and stuff. I find myself, I'm not taking pleasure in the Word. I just get up in the day, just go through my day, do whatever. I still come to church, open the Bible. But, you know, you remember that time where you were just so full of joy and so full of peace. It's like, man, I want to read the Word. On my radio, I'm listening to God's Word. You know, because again, it's the Lord Himself. And the life that thrives takes pleasure in the things of the Lord. What am I delighting in? Do I delight as much in His Word? And notice, in His law, He meditates day and night. And you know, to meditate, it means to look and consider carefully. To focus one's thoughts, reflect and ponder over, to weigh in one's mind. This is why in the back of your bulletin, there's a place there that says study notes. You know, so you can take down and jot down some notes or whatever. You know, so many times what we do is we hear the Word, we say, oh, I just made it to church. Oh, I just got there. I got my Bible. Okay, read the Word. Okay, close it. By the time I get in the car and leave, I forget what Pastor Bill said. I have no even intention of knowing, much less living. And then I wonder why. Oh, how come I'm bracing myself all week, you know, all over the place, you know, white knuckle. It's not the life that thrives. The psalmist, he thinks over it. How does it apply to my life? Taking certain words. It doesn't mean, again, it's all academic, although it is a part. This is why we have a media ministry, not just us, but so many other churches, right? You have CDs, you have podcasts, you download this, all for free. Our home fellowship just goes back over the Word of God on Thursday nights, as we do on Sundays, just to kind of rehash, rehearse, talk story about it, pray about it, you know. Because we forget so easily. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the Word and not merely hearers that delude themselves and deceive themselves. See, sometimes we think, well, main thing, I came and I listened to the, you know, mess, everything's good and all that. And then me, and I forget. I remember Danny Lehman, as he was sharing, you know, as he would preach the Word and stuff, and you know, Danny's so animated and he's just awesome, you know, as he communicates the Word. And then afterward, people get all fired up and everything and they want to meet him. They're like, Danny, man, that was the best message. That was so good. You're so funny and this and that and this and that. And he's like, oh, good. Praise the Lord. And then he says, oh, so what part did you like? Your jokes. Your jokes was funny. Your illustrations was great, Danny. But I got to go already. I think I got to go lunch. See you. But what do you remember of the Word? What did you, was it a couple of jokes? Are we just entertaining people? Like I'm trying to do, no, that's sorry. I'm not purposely doing that, it's how I am. I drink too much coffee, but whatever. But the whole point is, do you memorize? Do you go back over? It's like, one year out the other. The Bible says we deceive ourselves. A life that's thriving, a life that's growing, slowly but steady and bearing fruit, no matter what job, no matter where they live, no matter where they move, no matter what situation, good times and bad times. A life that God, you just see that God has His hand upon that life, is a life that is in God's Word and God's Word is in them. And the decisions that they make, the relationships that they have, the conviction that they have is all stemmed by the authority of God's Word and His character, you see. It's a life that is submissive to the loving shepherd. Day and night. Just two times. two seasons, day and night. That kind of sums it up, is 24/7. That's why we have radio and this and that and the other. We just moved, so we moved in this apartment, so we don't have a TV. I want to get one. Put a big flat screen right over there. I watch ESPN all night. But I noticed, because we just have our radio, it's really good. I'm hesitant. I tell the kids, I don't want to get it on TV, because I noticed when we were at Grandma and Grandpa's, we had cable, and so I would come home and sometimes eating my Jack in a Box. And it's late, you know, come home like 10:30, 11 o'clock, ministry all day, and they come. I'm just going to watch ESPN for like one whole hour, same old thing, you know. And I noticed that, you know what, you lose that sharpness spiritually. Now it's like when we get up, Dee Dee and I, it's like, oh, just click on the radio. The radio is going, and making breakfast or whatever, and you know, it's wonderful to hear God's word. We are so blessed. Some places that you travel, you know, I mean, you hear a lot of good music, Christian stations, and once in a while you'll catch a good radio station that teaches God's word, but then they'll have one good Bible teacher that has pretty right-on theology, and the next guy is like, whoa, what is that? You know, it's like, you know, but at K-Light, there's just a steady flow of consistent teaching, and you notice just God ministers to you day and night. Verse 3 is where we end off. This is the picture if we do these things. If we don't do those things in verse 1, watch our intimate relationships. Again, not to say you can't have friends, family, and stuff, but what they have to say and their ethics and their morality, what they have to say about God and their worldview is not going to enter into my mind and heart to dictate to me how to live my life. The Word of God does that. And my associations, I'm not being unequally yoked. I'm, you know, the people that my family hangs out with, we can barbecue with them, you know, after the ball game and stuff. But when they stay late with the lanterns and pop open the Budweiser and stuff, it's like, okay, gotta go, guys. But too many Christians are hanging out over there. You know, but we don't do those things. And we invest our life in knowing God through His Word. As a family, as a couple, as an individual, and we do His Word. You know, at Calvary, they say it's the Spirit of God working with the Word of God through the people of God. And the outcome or the result is this vibrant, this strong and steady, fruitful life in verse 3. And He will be, or she will be, like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he or she does, prospers. So this is the picture, you know, of a huge tree next to a river of water, a canal of water. You know, the water is just that source for growth. Those roots going deep down. Sometimes you look, sometimes on an airplane, when you look down over mainland United States or whatever, you look and you actually can see where the rivers are. You just look for the trees. That's where the water is. Those trees are not easily moved. How many of you tried to cut down a tree in the backyard and stuff? It's hard. Me and a couple buddies, I mean, we can cut the branches off, chainsaw this, chainsaw that, work it all the way down, but that stump is a killer. It is a killer. You better hire a stump remover. Are you going to take, you know? Why? Because the tree is firmly planted. It's been there for years. The roots are way down deep. It's not easily moved. It speaks of strength and stability. This is a life that's founded and meditating on God's word and you know, applying it to their life. There's just a sense of stability. Sometimes us as Christians, we're all over the place. We're going good for a while, then we backslide, come back. And you know, and again, there's seasons we might go, but some people's lives is always like that. It's not this vibrant life, this fruitful life. So here we have this tree firmly planted, the source of water, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And notice there's fruit, yields its fruit in its season. Not all the time, but every fruit tree has its season. And the fruit is just a natural byproduct of the branch and the stump and the roots. And this, see, this is what God wants in His church and in our life, because this fruit is how people are attracted to Jesus. You know it well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is what? The very first thing. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. Galatians 5, 22. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, I love this part. There's no law. When somebody is, you know, just in love with the Lord, delighting himself in the Lord, you don't have to tell them, brother, you got to go to church. Read your Bible. You want to pray? Come on, let's pray. Do this, do that. You know, it's like when you have to tell somebody to do that, that's kind of a little bit of an indicator that they have not come to this place yet. Either they don't know the Lord personally in their life, or they just, you know, they just, that life of the Spirit is dormant. You just kind of got to pray for them. But you know how it is when you're born again. All of a sudden, it's like, you know what? You don't have to tell me I want to go. You don't have to tell me to sing. I got to sing. You don't have to tell me, read my Bible, and say, I want to read my Bible. Because this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the result of a life that's delighting in the Lord. This is a vibrant life. There's this agape love. There's joy. There's forgiveness. You see, and the world needs to see this. This is how Jesus brings people into his kingdom. This is how so many of us got saved, right? It wasn't some grouchy old fool, you know, trying to judge me all the time with a scar on a face. Hey, don't do this, don't do that. I had some people in my life tell me that. Kind of, you know, I was like, well, you know, I was still partying and doing all these other things. But it was the love of God that brought about a change in my life. It's when I understood, you know, God, despite all that I do, I'm so miserable right now. I'm so empty in my life. I feel so guilty. And I'm scared to die and go to hell anyway, too. Lord, will you accept me? I have nothing to give. I want to be forgiven. I want you in my life. And then, you know, that fruit of the Spirit is born. And see, this is what the world needs to see. We have a world that's in chaos. And God wants us, wherever, you know, he sends us, to thrive, to be planted in him. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. And finally, we have here, the leaf does not wither. Speaks of the longevity. Again, like Caleb in the Old Testament. Caleb and Joshua, they're ready to go at 80 years old, you know, full of vim and vigor. Some people, the older they get in the Lord, they start petering out. So I used to walk with the Lord back in 19, I was on fire and witnessing, but what about now, you know? Even though we might get older physically, Paul says the outer man decayeth, and now I'm starting to understand, believe that, but yet the inner man is renewed day by day. You know, I look at Pastor Bill. You know, he's not ashamed. He's 64 years old, still pitching and playing hard and living life. And, you know, I mean, he goes up and down like everybody else. I mean, he's battling. There's times of survival, but there's just a thriving. There's just a passion to go on with the things of God. Some of you know people in our fellowship, been walking a long time. It's like, amazing. Tom Mouch, you know, he's like, I'm not going to use the 200 in first service. Tom Mouch, he was an elder here for many years, went to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Marietta. Today, he's serving the Lord. I mean, he's an older guy. He's got the joy of the Lord like none other. He can rap and worship with the youngest to whoever he is. There's life, man. Sometimes some of the other guys that come over here, Raul Reese and Greg, some of these guys, you know, hey, they're sinners like anybody else, but I do notice in their lives, there's fruit, there's life. They, you know, they're still living for God after 30 years. The leaf does not wither. And finally, it's whatever they do, they prosper. It doesn't mean that they have the Midas touch. You can get healthy, wealthier, richer, and this and that and the other. But it does mean that their life, even in the difficult times, is going to produce some kind of fruit. It does mean that despite the difficulties, that there is going, God's good is going to come out of it. We were watching last night Bethany Hamilton, many of you know, Soul Surfer and stuff, and listening again to her family's testimony and everything, her arm get ripped off by the tiger shark and stuff. And yet they were praying, you know, they were praying, Lord, use Bethany for about 2 weeks. You know, her and her mom was praying. They go to Calvary Chapel there in South Kauai, Steve Rex's church. But they were praying that God would use her, and then this happens. But look at the fruit now. God has used her like none other. And there's so many other examples of that. And maybe you're going through a season in your life. It's tragedy, it's difficult. But you know, if you stay in the Word of God, meditate on the character of God, obey Him, then some way, somehow, we don't know how it all works, but over the course of time, some way, somehow, God brings good out of it. See, this is the promise that we have if we're abiding in Him. This is the life that thrives. You can't touch it. Daniel, with all of his enemies, couldn't touch him. Every life that is placed the Lord in their life, you know what? The enemies will come, the critics will come, but you look steady, but surely, over the course of time, there's a life that is vibrant, that is alive, that is strong, that is steady, and this is the beautiful thing. It's still bearing fruit, still bringing people into the kingdom. This is what the Lord wants for all of us. Let's have the worship team come forward, and we're going to have communion. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the goodness of who You are. Not to leave us as orphans or fend for ourselves or come under our own counsel of our mind and our understanding, but Lord, we come to You and we declare that You are God and we are not. And Lord, You know each and every life, each and every heart that's here, whether we're thriving or whether we're surviving or striving or dying. Lord, You want all of us, each and every one of us, to have a life, not just existing, but a life that is full, a life that is rich in our relationship with You. As David declared, the Lord is my shepherd, it's all good. I don't need anything else. Because You do supply all our needs. There's nobody that loves us more. There's nobody as great as You. And we thank You, Lord, that You've called each and every one of us to Yourself. And Lord, we ask You to pour out Your Spirit upon our worship team as the ushers are distributing the communion elements. We pray that You would, if there's anything in our life, any sin, anything or whatever, Lord, even in my own life, Lord, help us to just repent. You so much want to forgive us. You're a God of mercy, compassion. You're not shocked by anything. You died on the cross for us, all of our sins. So, Lord, may we be right with You. May we think about, Lord, our life with You. In Jesus' name, amen.